Hello, you are listening to a discussion on the new Credible Fear Standard from the USCIS, a podcast brought to you by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. In this podcast, you will hear ILRC staff attorney Lourdes Martinez and guest attorney Niloufer Kansari talk about the various concerns advocates have regarding the new Credible Fear Lesson Plan for asylum officers, which was issued by the USCIS in February of this year.
To give some background on what we're talking about here, this past February, the USCIS released an updated lesson plan for the training of officers in the Asylum Division. This new training is titled USCIS Lesson Plan on Credible Fear Persecution and Torture Determinations. The new lesson plan has been controversial for two main reasons, and we know that many of you have been hearing about it, so we're going to address these things today. First of all, it is making it harder for immigrants who come to the U.S. to seek protection from persecution to even get a chance to come into the country and present an asylum claim, because it raises the standard a person must meet in order to show that they have credible fear of persecution if forced to return to their home country. Second, the new lesson plan also appears to be politically motivated in response to a couple of things. One is the increase in the people expressing fear of persecution at a port of entry into the U.S. And two, it seems to be in response to the backlog in the immigration courts. So we are concerned that it is intended to help ameliorate these problems in the immigration system, which may have more to do with resources. So Nilu, let's talk about these two controversial issues and how the new lesson plan is affecting immigrants coming to the U.S. seeking protection.
Hi everyone, thanks for having me.
The release was announced in a memo issued by John Lafferty, who is the chief of the Asylum Division at USCIS, where he explained the reasoning behind this new lesson plan. And on this memo, Mr. Lafferty explains that credible fear referrals to the Asylum Division in fiscal year 2013 were greater than the total credible fear referrals between 2007 and 2011, a five-year time span. The CIS also saw an increase just between 2012 and 2013 by more than 250%. So they saw the number of credible fear referrals increase by more than 250%. So this seems to be potentially motivated politically, similar to the situation with asylum seekers from El Salvador in the 1980s. At that time, there was an investigation into the matter, which uncovered coercive practices by immigration authorities to discourage Salvadorans from staying in the U.S. to ask for asylum at a time in their history where many of them were truly afraid. So many people from El Salvador, a significant increase, in fact, started to come to the U.S. to seek asylum. And the immigration authorities of the United States noticed this increase, and in an attempt to make sure that people who were not eligible for asylum weren't, you know, sneaking in, essentially, they tried to just prevent people from even asking for asylum. And we advocates are very concerned about this. So Nilu, can you tell us a little bit more about that and how this new lesson plan resonates with advocates and with that situation of the 1980s?
As advocates, we're very concerned about the new lesson plan. Just like the individuals in the 1980s from El Salvador and other Central American countries, there are reasons for an influx of the individuals who are fleeing from harm and presenting themselves here in the United States now. There is a legitimate concern from individuals around the country that about whether all of the people who are presenting themselves or claiming fear will actually be eligible for asylum. However, the credible fear interview stage is not the place to make that determination. And individuals can't be expected to present their claims at that credible fear interview stage. There's a great risk of reaching erroneous decisions and screening out individuals with meritorious claims. And USCIS formulated the 2014 lesson plan at a time when immigration reform has stalled in Congress. and the number of individuals seeking protection in the United States has increased. And the Lafferty memo explaining the background of the 2014 lesson plan was issued in light of the increased use of resources devoted to an increased number of credible fear adjudications. And in addition to that, the asylum office indicated that the 2014 lesson plan was designed to reduce the number of asylum seekers clogging up the court system. So as advocates, we're very concerned that the lesson plan is aiming to reduce the number of asylum seekers in the U.S. rather than complying with the values and statutory obligations that require the United States to protect potential refugees and individuals who are facing torture.
Yes, thanks for explaining that, Nilu. That's exactly what ILRC has been concerned about. We are afraid that if you try to address the problem of the increase of people who are coming to the United States because they of the conditions in their home country that are leading them to feel afraid, but if you try to address that at the gateway, you're going to be leaving out a lot of people who really should be making it through because they will have successful asylum claims. Let's step back a little bit, and for those who are new to this issue, could you briefly explain what is the purpose of the credible fear interview? I just referred to it as the gateway. Can you explain to us how it works that way?
Yes, the purpose of a credible fear interview is to screen for possible refugees and individuals who may face torture, and to ensure that the U.S. doesn't return a person to a country where the person could be at risk of getting persecuted or tortured. So the idea is to create a net, a wide net, to catch all potential refugees who would be subject to torture or individuals who fear persecution.
This reminds me of something Professor Bill Hinks said in a letter that he wrote to John Lafferty about the new credible fear lesson plan, where Professor Hing explained that the credible fear interview should be used to separate potentially meritorious claims for asylum from claims that are clearly not meritorious.
That's right. So it's not so much about meeting all the standards for eligibility for asylum at the credible fear interview stage, but rather whether there is a credible fear of persecution or torture, just like the title and the language itself says.
And how is USCIS supposed to conduct the screening process? How do they identify which claims are potentially meritorious?
The asylum office is required to identify whether there's a significant possibility the person will face persecution. And again, it's meant to set a wide net for anyone with a legitimate fear. As Professor Bill Hing wrote in his response to the lesson plan, a potentially meritorious claim at the credible fear interview juncture is all that is necessary. And what might happen in reality is that the asylum office and the credible fear interview process captures more people than are actually ultimately eligible for asylum, but the point is to give individuals an opportunity to present their full claims if they have a credible fear.
One of our concerns at the ILRC has been that the new credible fear lesson plan instructs asylum officers on what the significant possibility standard means, and it tells them that where there is only a minimal or a mere possibility that a person will face persecution if they're forced to return to their home country, that in this case they're not meeting the significant possibility standard, and they therefore should not make it through the credible fear process. Nilu, can you please explain how this interpretation of the significant possibility standard raises the bar for individuals undergoing a credible fear interview?
Yes, it implies that an individual has to have more than a possible or minimal possibility of persecution. The lesson plan is misleading because it's organization, the way it's formulated, and the tone suggests a much higher standard for making a positive, credible fear determination than what is actually appropriate under applicable law. And the applicable law, per the Supreme Court landmark decision in INS versus Cardozo-Fonseca explained the standard, providing that a 10% chance is what's required to show that a person will experience persecution. So a 1 in 10 chance is a lot closer to a mere possibility than a more likely than not possibility. The lesson plan is misleading because, for example, it states that the significant possibility standard does not require the applicant to demonstrate that chances of success are more likely than not. This is misleading because it insinuates that the standard is just below a 50% possibility of success. And this kind of language in the lesson plan occurs over and over again in the 47 pages that are provided by USCIS. Not everyone is going to be eligible for asylum, although many individuals are legitimately afraid and have experienced harm who are asking for asylum. Nevertheless, they should each still be given an opportunity to fully present their case, and the credible fear interview is just not the appropriate place to do that because cases in asylum law is simply complicated and there are many elements, areas of law within asylum, especially in the area of particular social group, that are constantly evolving.
Yes, this is something that I want to go into a little bit more because one of our main concerns here at the ILRC was that the new lesson plan on credible fear seems to suggest to asylum officers that they treat the credible fear interview like an asylum interview. But an asylum interview is several steps ahead of the credible fear process, after the applicant has had a chance to get a lawyer and gather evidence. Many applicants don't even know that they might be eligible for protection when they come into the United States afraid for their life. So can you talk a little bit more about this, Nilu?
An example from the lesson plan is that it asks an asylum seeker at the screening stage, at the credible fear stage, to, quote, produce sufficiently convincing evidence that establishes the facts of the case. This is only one of many examples in the lesson plan that require an asylum seeker at the credible fear interview stage to present their case similarly to the level at which they would present their case in the court or at an asylum interview. Asylum seekers cannot be expected to present their legal arguments at the level that they would in the asylum office in a full interview or in a courtroom. Most asylees at the credible fear stage are unrepresented, they're detained in conditions that are often traumatizing or causing new trauma. They're not in a healthy mental state.
Nilu, can you share with us what you and other service providers who work with potential asylum seekers have observed has been the result of the application of this new lesson plan? How is it affecting people coming to the U.S. to seek protection from persecution?
Individuals who would have received positive determinations, in some cases already have, under the new lesson plan and asylum officer training, received negative determinations. And this includes individuals, the most vulnerable asylum seekers, including LGBTQ victims and survivors of domestic violence.
So for people listening to the podcast, I'd like to let them know about a petition that Nilu's organization, Pangea Legal Services, is putting together along with two other organizations here in the Bay Area, Central American Resource Center and the Transgender Law Center. They have put together a petition for immigration advocates, which the ILRC has joined, to request a rescission of the new lesson plan.
The listeners of this podcast are welcome to contact us to join as well in this petition. Like Lourdes said, the petition asks for a rescission of the new lesson plan, and we're also asking that asylum officers be retrained to apply an appropriate standard of law.
Thanks for listening to a discussion on the new credible fear standard from the USCIS. To learn more about the petition to the USCIS and for more information on this topic, please visit the ILRC website at www.ilrc.org. The Immigrant Legal Resource Center, or ILRC, is a national nonprofit resource center that provides legal trainings, educational materials, and advocacy to advance immigrant rights. The mission of the ILRC is to work with and educate immigrants, community organizations, and the legal sector to continue to build a democratic society that values diversity and the rights of all people. This podcast was brought to you by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center.